James chapter 1, tonight beginning with verse 5. James tells us, if any of you lack wisdom. Now, I don't suppose that refers to any of you tonight. You're all, no doubt, as wise as could possibly be. But if there should be one here tonight that is lacking in wisdom, there's a source that is available for you. Let him ask of God. We usually equate wisdom with knowledge, but there's a vast difference between the two. Some of the smartest men that I know and have met believe and do some very stupid and foolish things. They may have knowledge, but they're not very wise. Wisdom is actually the proper application of knowledge. Knowledge will tell you that that little cute animal with a white stripe down its back is a skunk. Knowledge will tell you that it has a very pungent odor that it can emit. Wisdom will tell you, don't try and pet it. The proper use of knowledge. And one of the men who is acclaimed to be one of the smartest men in the world, especially in the subject of physics, declares that he is an atheist. He may be smart. And he may be acclaimed as one of the smartest men in the world, but according to the Bible, he is a fool. For the scripture says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. King David, as he was briefing his son Solomon to take over the throne, said to Solomon, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all of your getting, get understanding. But what a wise counsel for David to give to his son. Wisdom, that's the most important thing. More important than just knowledge. Wisdom, that you might learn and know how to apply the knowledge that you have. So Solomon then wrote, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And then he tells us that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You can have all kinds of knowledge, but you can be involved in all kinds of evil. It's amazing how people use their knowledge many times for evil. I think of these fellows that get on the computers and they have the ability to hack into computers and then they have the ability to develop these worms or viruses and they can infect people. And you think, what a waste of knowledge. It really isn't very smart. And yet, here they are, with all of their brilliance and understanding of computers and all, knowledge, but they're not wise. I would rather be wise than smart, because I know so many smart people that do such stupid things. David wrote in Psalm 111, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all that do his commandments, and his praise endures forever. When David was finally turning over the throne to Solomon, he said, may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord thy God. That's wisdom, keeping the law of the Lord. So David said, may the Lord give you this wisdom. When the temple was dedicated, the Lord came to Solomon and he said to Solomon, "Ask what you will that I should give to you." And Solomon responded, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before your people, for who can judge your people who are so great?" And God said to Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, you've not asked for riches or wealth or honor or for the life of your enemies, neither for long life for yourself, but you've asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted to you. But I will also give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had before you, neither shall there any come after you who have the like." God was pleased with the request for wisdom. In Job 28:12, Job asked the question, "But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding?" He then goes on to say, "You can't buy it. All of the gold or all of the gems can't buy wisdom." And then he said, "The value of wisdom is more than gold or precious gems." And then he declares that God searched it out and God said, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." If you're messing around with sin, if you're involved in sinful practices, you're not very wise. James tells us, if you lack in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all men liberally. God wants you to seek his wisdom. Proverbs tells us, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. When you're faced with an issue, you don't know what you should do. There is the key. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all things. In other words, I acknowledge you are Lord. You are far wiser than I am. You know what is best in this situation. Guide me, give me wisdom, Lord, in these issues. Are you positive that the decision that you are making is the right decision? Do you know what is the best path to take? Do you know what the future holds? Don't you think that it's a good idea to seek the advice and counsel from someone who does know what is the right decision, who does know what is the best path and knows what the future holds, especially if he's anxious to give that wisdom to you? He gives to all men liberally. And he says, he upbraids not. That is, he doesn't rebuke you. He doesn't castigate you. When you ask God for wisdom, he doesn't say, "Are you so stupid that you don't understand what you should be doing?" He doesn't upbraid you, but he gives it to you. And that's so important, that God is wanting to give you his wisdom. He doesn't want you making mistakes. He wants you to do the right thing. He enjoys helping you. So, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. He gives liberally. He doesn't rebuke or upbraid you. And we have the two requirements for asking God. So he tells us, verse 6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Believe that if you ask the Lord for wisdom to help you to make the right decision, that he will give you that wisdom. Ask in faith, trusting the Lord. You have the instruction to trust in the Lord with all your heart and just trust him, believe him, that he will direct your path. Nothing wavering. Second issue. A person who is indecisive rarely accomplishes anything worthwhile. You see people that are sort of wishy-washy. I wonder if I should try it. I think that maybe I should just forget it. Yet if I forget it, then the opportunity may pass by and I'll miss it completely. Maybe I should just give it a try. But what if it fails? And you see, back and forth and back and forth, and they're wavering, constantly wavering on the issue. I'm to ask in faith, and then I'm just to not waver, to believe that God is going to direct me. And I have that kind of faith that if I am mistaking the voice of God, when he is saying yes and I think he is saying no, I have that kind of faith that if I am really genuine in my desire to be led of the Lord, and I've asked him to give me wisdom, if I make a mistake, I believe that he'll block it. I believe that he will stop it, and that has happened many, many times in my life, where the Lord put a roadblock in the way, and I don't try to push the roadblocks out of the way. If the Lord is in it, he can do that for me. Men who accomplish great feats for God are men who have dared to just venture out in faith, believing that God is leading you and trusting God that he is leading you. It is that total commitment of myself to the leading of the Lord. You remember the story of Esther, how that when Mordecai had said, you need to go in to the king and seek the deliverance of our people, she sent out to him how that was not proper according to the court of the kings of Persia, that you don't go in unless you're bidden. And should you dare to enter the presence without his calling you, that you are putting your life on the line. Unless he raises the golden scepter, the guards will immediately take your life. And Mordecai sent back the message and said, if this decree goes through, don't think that you will be spared. And he said, how do you know but what God didn't bring you to the kingdom for just a time like this? So Esther sent back her resolve, I will go in, and if I perish, I perish. It used to be years ago when we were in college, we would go to some fancy restaurant and we wouldn't really be dressed properly according to the code of the restaurant. But we would say, well, let's go in. They can't do any more than kick us out. I mean, you know, let's give it a try. I mean, so they kick us out, you know, doesn't matter. That's the worst they can do. And with Esther, well, the worst they can do is kill me. That's not too bad. And so if I perish, I perish. It's that kind of a commitment. And that's an important thing. When I commit my ways to the Lord and I'm certain that God is directing and guiding, then we take that kind of a attitude. Well, Lord, if I perish, I perish. I had suggested to a church that I was pastoring something that I felt the Lord was leading me to do, and something that I felt the church ought to be involved in. One of the elders said, Pastor, do you realize that you could kill the church? And I said, well, if I kill the church, I'll stand on the grave and I'll preach a sermon, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, because we're doing this in the name of the Lord and for, you know, the kingdom's sake, and stepping out in faith, trusting the Lord to guide us, seeking his wisdom, and then following it when we feel that we have the clear mind of the Lord, following it, nothing wavering. Because he that wavers is like the waves of the sea that are driven by the wind and tossed. Jacob said of his firstborn son, Reuben, that he was as unstable as water. He said, he will never prevail. Driven by the winds, tossed. Whatever way the wind is blowing, there they are, driven by the wind and tossed. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, talks to them about how that they were just going according to the course of this world. And the idea is that of a weather vane, and whatever way the wind is blowing, that's the direction they move. People who live by the fads of the world, who follow after the fads of the world, no real stability. It's just however things are moving at the time, however the mood is, and you don't have a set resolve or purpose, but there is that constant wavering. You're like a wind, or like the waves of the sea that are just blown to and fro by the wind. There are those who just will not stand up against pressure that's exerted against them. There is that axiom that says a man who does not stand for something will fall for anything. And that is so true. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Later on, James will tell us that if we are wavering, we cannot expect to receive anything from the Lord, for a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So don't think that if you are just there wavering, that you're going to receive from the Lord. You're unstable if you're double-minded. Elijah, standing before the children of Israel, said, how long will you waver or halt between two opinions? If the Lord is God, then serve him. Don't waver about that. Don't vacillate. In 2 Kings 17, it tells us of the people that said, They feared the Lord, and they served their own gods. And that's the case of a lot of people today. They fear the Lord, but in actual serving, they serve their own gods. Isaiah, in the 29th chapter, said, "Wherefore the Lord said, these people draw near me with their mouth. With their lips they honor me, but they have removed their heart far from me." Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters. It just can't be." So it's important that we set the course and we be steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. David prayed, "Lord, give me an undivided heart." That is, the actual prayer was, "Lord, unite my heart to worship thee. I don't want a divided heart. I want to be steadfast, unmovable." In Psalm 86, David said, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." And may that be our prayer tonight, Lord, an undivided heart. Give me wisdom. Give me direction. Give me guidance, Lord. I don't want to make a mistake. I want your wisdom. And I'm going to trust you, Lord, to lead me and guide me in your path. Father, we do thank you that we can come to you when we are needing wisdom. And we can receive from you guidance and direction for our lives. What a blessing it is, Lord, to have this resource available to us. And so, Lord, as we ask in faith, not wavering, but Lord, ready to follow the leading and the guidance of your Holy Spirit, guide us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are down here at the front, and maybe you are facing a decision and you don't know what you should be doing. And you need help. Well, we just studied how to get it. Ask the Lord. He gives to us freely, liberally, doesn't abrade. These men are here to pray with you and to pray for you, that God might guide you and direct you in these decisions that you are facing, in the issues that are coming up, and you're sort of in a quandary as what to do. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path. And so they'll be glad to pray with you that God will direct and guide you and give you his wisdom in the issues that you are looking at and a little concerned and worried about. And so I would encourage you, just come on forward and receive prayer tonight. They're here to minister to you. And so I would encourage you, take advantage. The Lord bless thee.
The Lord bless thee.
And keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.